Welcome, everyone, to Danny's Diary, a podcast powered by Singing News Magazine and brought to you by IMC Concerts. Our guest today, two-time favorite soloist of the year, according to the Singing News Fan Awards, Joseph Habedank. Joseph, welcome.
Thank you for having me. So I've been listening to your first few interviews you've done on your singingnews.com, and they have been awesome. I've really enjoyed them.
Well, I appreciate you saying that. Let's continue the trend. We're going to introduce to those few people who may not know about you the life and career of Joseph Habedank. Now, first of all, you have a very unusual name. Habedank.
Yeah.
There's not very many people in gospel music with that last name. Where does that name originate?
Well, it's actually German. So I didn't know this until a few years ago, but it's German. It means have thanks. And it's always been really, in fact, this weekend we were in Mississippi and both dates spelled my name wrong on the sign. So first day was Haben and the second date was Haber. Dank. So it's actually Hab-a, but there's an E, not an A. So H-A-B-E-D-A-N-K. It's very difficult. I didn't really think it was that bad growing up, but as I gotten older, and you know, when people introduce you, it becomes very interesting. It's really funny to watch pastors who don't know how to pronounce it. They'll just say, make welcome Brother Joseph or Joseph, or so they don't even, a lot of guys don't even attempt it.
Well, one thing I have noticed that in your events, the concerts that you do, you address that very situation, you know,
I do,
usually
yeah.
after the first or second song, put the audience at ease and, you know, make a little running joke out of it. And that works to your advantage right off the bat. They feel like, okay, we know this guy. We can get along with him. He's our best friend. And for the next 35 minutes, you know, you can work with that audience and take them where you need to be. When you walk out onto a stage, what is going through your mind that very first second after you're introduced and you're headed to the microphone?
Well, I think I just want to connect and make sure they don't get bored because, you know, when you're a solo artist, there's just you. So it's very easy to get to lose the crowd because there's nothing else on stage. I mean, it's really just you. So I think I've studied a lot of other solo artists. In fact, Kirk Talley gave me the idea to make fun of my name. To make the crowd to you know draw attention to it and just to make you know kind of lighten the mood and which was a great idea. Kirk was an amazing communicator, always has been. Of course, I've gotten a lot of advice from Ivan and even Jason Crabb, who's it's a little different because Jason has a band and I don't have that. But Jason's also a great communicator. So I think just making sure I connect with them and making sure that they don't lose interest. And there's some nights I don't accomplish that. Some nights it's, you know, three songs in and they're just not, they're
well,
not there yet.
You know, if every artist is honest, that happens to everyone. You know,
yeah.
The home runs do not happen every night. And I think it was George Johnson of the Cathedral said, you go for the majority. You're just not going to win them all. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, there's a lot of sense in that. So do you ever foresee a day when you will have a band on the road?
You know, it's funny. A lot of people ask me if I'm going to join a group again because I think, you know, people are still getting used to the fact that I'm a soloist. And, you know, our industry doesn't always accept soloists 100%. You know, they love harmony. And I get that because when I was growing up, I mean, the groups that I liked, you know, it was groups. It wasn't solo artists necessarily. And I did like Ivan and Kirk and... But I didn't, you know, I was raised on Gold City and the Cathedrals and the Perrys. And so I think I understand. But as far as a band, I think I've thought about it. I would just need a lot more money.
Right. Bands are not cheap.
They're expensive. Yeah. So it'd basically be like having a group because, you know, if you get a piano player and a drummer and then a drummer's also another issue because you don't want to, drummers can be very polarizing. You know, they're either
right.
too loud or even some churches don't necessarily like drums and they'll let you have them on their tracks before they let them on their platform sometimes. So I think it's always been in the back of my mind. I think it's definitely a possibility and something that would be a dream of mine. At this point, you know, probably not going to happen in the next 2 years, but you never know. I mean, it would be fun.
Right.
It'd be really fun.
Well, your other interest in gospel music, Run Deep, you're turning out to be quite a successful songwriter. You've had a good run with that. You've spent several years on the bus with the Perrys, and that's where a lot of people were first introduced to Joseph.
Yeah.
In the world of songwriting, where do you feel that your songs are having the most impact? Do you feel there's a certain age bracket? Do you feel there's a certain person who's been through a particular struggle? Do you feel like your songs are reaching a certain segment, or have they broadened enough to where you can touch all walks of life?
Yeah, it's been interesting because I think I've seen more young people than I realized I would when I first started. Because as most people know, I mean, people that come see gospel music and support gospel music are usually elderly people in age of 60s or 70s, sometimes 80s even. And we still get those people, and I'm very grateful for that. But I think the most interesting thing has been that when you write songs about redemption or grace and mercy and forgiveness, it kind of touches everybody, even young people. So that's been very interesting to watch. And I think another thing is it's been very surprising to me that it has touched all those age brackets. But certainly young people, teenagers, everybody from teenagers to little kids. Of course, I record a lot of upbeat, fast songs. I usually include, you know, three or four that are a little more wild, if you will. My mom would say they're wild. But the kids love those fast songs. But then, you know, you throw in a ballad or something that's a little more tender, and then the older people latch onto that. And then what's even more surprising is that the older people actually, they like the fast songs too. And that was something I was a little afraid of. And I think the record company that I'm with, Daywind, they were a little concerned at the beginning, you know, that it would be too much for the audience. And I said, you know, I think because I've written these songs that I think I can communicate them in a way that it will be okay. So let's just try it. And so we did, and it worked. And it's funny, you'll have a 60 or 70 year old lady come up and request, you know, Jailbreak, or it's really funny to me. But it really encourages me, because nobody has ever come up to me and said, hey man, I wish you were a little more conservative in your musical style choice, or, you know, that's never really happened. So I'm grateful for that. And people have been so gracious and kind to me, and supportive, and it just means the world to me. You know, I don't think everybody wants to be accepted. Right. So that's a pretty special thing.
Do you see the gospel music artist, not artist, but the audiences changing their acceptance of musical styles? You know, when you first came into gospel music, it was very group oriented,
mm-hmm.
and now it seems like we have more and more soloists. But do you see the audiences truly changing and becoming more acceptive of changes in the styles and the changes in the configurations of what they're so used to seeing? You know, used to, it was all family groups and all quartets. Well, now, as we said, it's a little different. What do you think the audiences are truly looking for right now? I guess that's what I'm trying to say.
I think they just want to connect, and I think that they just want you to be real and be who you are. I think a perfect example of that is you take a group like Triumphant, who is recording a lot of what people don't realize are, some of them are contemporary Christian songs, and they're making them Southern gospel, and yet they're the most popular, they're the fan favorite artist of the year. So yes, I think when I first got in the industry, Tracy was very conservative, and he wanted me to dress a certain way and wear my hair a certain way. I had very large hair, and it needed to be cut, and he was right on all those things. But I do think it has changed since then, in the sense that they do accept things that they didn't accept when I was 17, mm-hmm. and I got into this, and it's been interesting to watch, and it's been encouraging to watch. I mean, I think the fact it says a lot about the fans that they're willing to accept outside the box ideas and outside of the box songs, and I appreciate that about them. I think there are some people that still want to protect the heritage and I get that, and I'm totally respectful of that, and we never want to lose the quartets. We don't want to lose the family groups, but I do think it's okay to grow. I mean, every music industry evolves, and I think one of the challenges that our industry has had is that it has not evolved as much musically as other genres of music, and so it is nice to see it kind of evolving into something a little more open-minded, and it's been fun to watch. Yeah, I appreciate it about the fans. I appreciate how loyal they are, and I think it's cool that, you know, you can put in, I use Triumphant as an example, you can put in a Triumphant CD and listen to Chainbreaker, and their grandkids going to know that song,
mm-hmm.
and they're going to love that song. I mean, arguably the biggest song in contemporary music was the biggest song in Southern gospel music in the same year. That's pretty amazing.
Right, that doesn't happen every
day. It doesn't
ever
happen.
That's right.
So it's pretty cool.
Let's go back to a 17-year-old Joseph. What was going on in your world that caused you to want to be a part of this music?
Well, you know, I grew up loving it, and I think I knew at a pretty young age. I was probably 4 or 5, and I'd listen to the Singing Americans and Gold City. I had the little cassettes and Cathedrals, and I always wanted to sing with a group or maybe even start a group one day. I never really set out to be a solo artist because even back then, it was just not a thing. It wasn't very accepted, but started singing with my family, and I was very young, and then I actually went out on my own back when I was 15 or when I first got my license. I started doing a few solo dates, and then I had the opportunity to join the Perrys, and that was a dream come true. I was a big Perrys fan and loved their music and loved their songs. But 17-year-old Joseph was quite different. It was I was very arrogant and had a lot of thought I had everything figured out, you know. And Tracy taught me a lot, you know. He was hard on me in a lot of ways, but I needed it. And you know, he really raised me, him and Libby both, somewhat on the road. And so I learned a lot, mm-hmm. And continued to learn a lot through the last few years. And really grateful for that time of my life. And I certainly made a ton of mistakes, things that I wish I could go back and change. But I wouldn't trade, you know, the lessons that I learned. And but yeah, 17-year-old Joseph was quite a bit different. I hope I've evolved and matured a little bit.
You seem to have. I think
I'm
you're
trying.
Doing good.
I'm really trying. My wife might tell you differently, but I really am trying.
Hey, you're listening to Danny's Diary, and this episode of Danny's Diary is sponsored by IMC Concerts, the premier concert and event promotions company for the very best in gospel, bluegrass, and classic country music. We want you to make your plans now to attend the Pennsylvania Gospel Music Festival. It's held every Labor Day weekend in the heart of the Pennsylvania Amish country, and this exciting event includes many of your favorite artists, and it's held at the American Music Theater in Lancaster, Pennsylvania. That is a beautiful auditorium, by the way. For more information, all you need to do is visit GardenSpotPromotions.com, click on the festival link, or call 800-648-4102. Our guest today, Joseph Habedank, and Joseph is currently touring in support of his latest recording. And for those people who may not know about it, here is your chance to tell everything you need to know about your brand new recording in 30 seconds. Go.
Deeper Oceans just released April 26th, and first single's called Shame on Me, and which is kind of an interesting title, but and it just debuted on the charts at 28, which is pretty exciting, the top 80, so I'm excited to see what happens. And I actually got to hear it on the radio for the first time today when I was driving to the gym. I heard it on Enlighten for the first time, so that was exciting, and I hope it does well. People seem to like it. It's kind of a little more southern, which I like about it. It's got a little more, it's a very churchy song, and it's a fun song. I actually wrote it downtown at First Baptist Nashville with one of their worship leaders there, a guy named Michael Boggs, and a guy named Jason Cox. So pretty excited about this song. I hope people are liking it.
All right. You know, on previous podcasts, we've thrown out some names and just asked for your first reaction. I'm not going to do that to you today. I'm going to do something entirely different. We're going to find out about the favorites of Joseph Habedank. Here we go. Your favorite car?
BMW.
Which series?
Probably the 5 Series, although I don't have one. I used to have them, but I don't anymore, because when I started my solo ministry, I thought it would be a little bad to show up in a luxury car to a church. So we've been in Jeeps for the past 5 or 6 years, and I actually love Jeep. Mm-hmm. I really love a Jeep. We had a Cherokee, now we have a Grand Cherokee, so I love those cars. They're really great cars.
If you're at a church service and the pastor, after everything's over, decides that I'm going to take Joseph out for a meal, and he says, you can pick, where are you going to go?
Oh, man. Well, I would probably pick Ruth's Chris, but I've only had one pastor take me there, and he was coming into town to Nashville. He's a guy from Mississippi, and Ripley, Mississippi, and he wanted to take us to eat, and he loves Ruth's Chris, so he wanted to take us. But, you know, I usually wouldn't, because usually you're not in a town that has Ruth's Chris. So if I didn't have Ruth's Chris, probably like In-N-Out or If I'm in California, or, you know, there's a lot of great places. Skyline Chili. I love Skyline Chili, which is an Ohio thing. Of course, that's where I grew up, so that's kind of home food to me. But yeah, I love food, man. I love it. It's a constant struggle because I do really well during the week. You know, I work out and I eat good, then I go on the road and blow it. Mm-hmm. It's just one of those things. But I'm doing good today because I'm home.
Your favorite thing about your wife, Lindsay?
She is very endearing. So she is very, she's childlike in the sense that she just has a very endearing quality about her. And I love that about her, her innocence. And she's just a good, good, good woman.
And yeah. she travels nearly every mile with you. She helps with the table, helps with the sound and your tracks and things like that. So she's a very vital part of what you do.
Very.
If people want to learn more about Joseph Habedank, where do they need to go?
Well, you can go to my website if you can spell it. It's josephhabedank.com, and it does have two H's. So J-O-S-E-P-H, another H, A-B-E-D-A-N-K.com. And you can go on Facebook and Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff. And yeah, keep in touch with us. We'd love to see you out on the road. And thanks for your support, and go pick up Deeper Oceans.
There you go. Our guest today has been Joseph Habedank, and we want you to make sure that you find him in concert. You'll have a great time. Make sure you tune in for the next Danny's Diary podcast, powered by Singing News Magazine and sponsored by IMC Concerts. By the way, if you are not a subscriber of Singing News Magazine, you need to do that today. Simply pick up your telephone, dial 800-527-5226. Operators are standing by. We'll see you next time here on Danny's Diary.